News to the newsmakers. It's all on the Mike Hosking Breakfast with Bailey's Real Estate Institute award winners nine times over. News Talk ZB.
Morning to you, 7 past 7. Another crack at housing this morning, this time from the New Zealand Initiative. Essentially, we need to build an extra 30,000 homes a year. That's on top of the current 40,000 we already build. Listen to this, though. Even if we had zero net migration over the next 20 years, we'd still need to build 20,000 homes per year. Chief Economist at the Initiative, Eric Crampton's with us. Eric, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Here's the trouble. We're not going to do it, are we? As much as we might need to or want to, we're not going to do it.
Well, we're going to have to do it. Otherwise, things are going to blow out even worse than they already have. The political situation on this seems pretty spicy. I don't think that labor will be able to continue with the housing shortage as it has been. Housing prices, consequent of the shortage, have gone nuts. And even with the restrictions on people coming in, we've continued to see housing costs blow out. That's a function both of the current housing shortage and of money supply increase. But the underlying housing shortage has to get addressed. There are some moves in that direction. The national policy statement will start helping, but they're not doing anything in the interim. They're not signaling clearly, or at least our cities aren't signaling clearly, that they're going to enable a lot more housing under the NPS. They could be doing that. Their incentives aren't quite geared for that yet, though. We think there are some structural changes that are necessary to enable more building. But if folks have thought that we could get away with it just by keeping the borders closed, they're dreaming. Population aging all on its own is going to demand that we could get a lot more building done because older households or smaller households.
Yeah. Exactly. But even allowing's not your problem. Well, it is the problem. But even if you allowed it, you couldn't do it because we don't have the product. We don't have the people. We're at capacity at the moment.
Oh, that's all a function of the system, right? So if you've gone for two decades with very little building being allowed, then the construction sector will gear up to the amount of building that has been allowed. And right now, we are at capacity. You're hard-pressed to find a builder for anything.
Yeah.
But if everyone knew that for the next two decades, councils are going to be very accommodative, that it's going to be easy to get building material supplies in, and that councils would be welcoming growth, they would start taking on a lot more trainees, right, and gearing up for the job to come. Nobody would be gearing up to do that if they thought that councils would continue to be fairly restrictive in consenting practices. But we could get that capacity by getting some really clear signals about that a lot more building will be allowed.
The article you wrote yesterday about the British think tank, the Policy Exchange, where you do all this business at street level, I'll explain more detail in a moment. Do you think that's real or not?
Well, it's a proposal. It's not real yet. It's something that could be done.
No, but real as in it's acceptable and people would get on with it and actually do it.
I think it'd be a nice complement to a lot of other things going on. I don't think it would get the job done all on its own. But if you layer that on top of a lot of other moves, like the national policy statement requiring more density near transit, like new measures for infrastructure financing that could open up new subdivisions, if in addition to all of that, you've got a means for streets to get around the NIMBYs and unlock some value for their own properties, that'd be fantastic. So just to briefly summarize that proposal, the Policy Exchange think tank in the UK suggests that if a supermajority of residents on a street, so like one side of one block of a street, if it's a really long street, then you can get a smaller section of it. If you get at least 60% of the people there agreeing and it's from across enough households, they could upzone themselves. Instead of having to go through a great big council process, just getting agreement among their neighbors would be enough. And if there's infrastructure that's required to service the upzoning, so if you're turning, say, a dozen single-family dwellings on fairly large sections into a row of houses that looks more like something in Paris where they're five stories high and fairly dense apartments, then some of the value that's created when you do the rezoning and when you get the building done, that would fund the infrastructure. So they charge themselves for it.
Done by street level. Yeah. It's a fascinating insight. I just don't know how real it is. Eric, listen, I appreciate your time as always. The piece is written, Time to Stop Council's Ability to Stand in the Way of Growth. Have a look at it. But basically, as a member of the street, you make the decisions on the development in your street and your street alone. Eric Crampton of the New Zealand Initiative, 12 minutes past 7.